speak to you about a story that's probably one of the most known noted stories. As a matter of fact, you're talking about it on your men's meeting, and that is facing our Goliath. One of the most noted stations, and that's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is, of course, where they came. And look with me, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and maybe you'll stand with me in honor of God's word tonight as we read the first 10 verses here. This is a very critical time in the history of Israel. Israel was being dominated by the Philistines. We'll look in a little bit and look at how numerically they were much small, and they didn't have the armor and different things. They were just being dominated by the Philistines, and then they were out there prepared for fight there. Begin here in verse 1 of 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shiloh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Soko and Azekah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried out unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and God, we know that the devil goes around as a lion seeking whom he may devour, and he seems so strong and so, and he is so wicked, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to resist him, to stand up and let you get the victory in our lives when the Goliaths come at us, when the world seeks to destroy us. God, that we would not react in the flesh, but Lord, that we would react spiritually. God, you have the victory. You have defeated Satan. Help us to realize that and to claim that victory every day in our life. And I thank you for this church and this pastor who are doing that right here in this city. And God, I pray you continue to bless them and give them souls. And may they continue to give you the honor and glory. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's very easy to get into a negative mindset. Years ago, I was in Houston in a missions conference, and a pastor got up and he was talking about taking a trip, a missions trip, down into Mexico. And I talked to him about that, and I questioned how wise it was for him to go down into Mexico at that time, because they had the drug wars and there are people killed regularly down there. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget his answer. He said, you know, we're supporting and sending out missionaries to go to these countries to establish churches. And should we not be willing, as God leads, to go and to support them and help them? If we're not willing to go and help them, we should not be sending them. And it gave me a lesson I'll never forget. It's very easy to look only at the negative and not look at what God can do in a certain circumstance. Now, this is a serious challenge that the Philistine gave. I mean, the Philistines ruled over Israel at that time. We can look back in chapter 13 just to give you sort of an overview of how serious the situation was. And 1 Samuel 13 and verse 5, and the Word of God tells us, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots." Okay? 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward of Beth Aven. Now, not only were they in great over proportion of power and military, they had so Israel under the heel that they had taken away the smiths. Amen. I mean, they couldn't even make a plow. Amen. They couldn't make a sword. Actually, Israel was almost without weapons. Yes. You'll see a later time, only Saul and Jonathan had a sword. And so you see this, they were already dominating and ruling over Israel. And so here they're coming out here, and this Goliath, he was looking at it, and you just see the massiveness of him. I mean, he's almost 10 feet tall, really a strong man, had great weapons, a great protection, and he was a man of war from his youth. I mean, he was trained in war, and there were... there wasn't anybody in Israel anywhere near his size. And so they were coming and they were fearful. It talks about here in what we read this morning in 1 Samuel 17. He said, verse 11, "And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Before this, they were so afraid of what the Philistines were going to do to them, they were hiding in the hillsides. They were hiding caves. Yeah, they're hiding in caves. And the Philistines would make fun of it. If you come out of the caves, that's what they said to Jonathan when he came out to fight against them. They were in such a fearful situation. But praise God, Jonathan had some courage to go out and fight them and brought a great victory. And, you know, the odds may seem very much against us in this world. But I'll tell you something. When you're doing God's work and you're in God's will and you're doing it for His honor, you plus God makes a majority. Amen. I don't care if it's at your job, if it's at your home, if it's at your school, wherever it is. When you're serving God and obeying Him and just walking with Him. And, man, that's so important to walk with God. I mean, to be in your Bible and to be in prayer every day. There's just no substitute for that. But when you are filled with the Spirit, when you are led by the Spirit, empowered by it, I tell you what, you've got victory in front of you, irregardless of what the people around you is going on. And so we're coming here. They were in fear. You know, when God is going to bless you and give a victory, usually He puts you in a difficult situation. And when God is going to do a miracle, He puts you in an impossible situation. And I'll tell you right now, we have a God who specializes in things called impossible. And so you come in situations impossible, instead of automatically abandoning ship, giving it up to others, you turn to God and see what kind of victory He has in life and miracle He has ready for you. And God is working today. God has things going on in your lives. You know, the Word of God says in Romans 8:20 that all things work together for good to them that are saved, that are called God's people. Amen. And that means you've got problems. God has allowed it for a purpose. Amen. It's so easy. If something happens, you get caught up in traffic. You know, and of course, that couldn't happen here, could it? Oh, no. But you get caught up in traffic, and this is that going on. You say, oh, why has this got to happen to me? And I tell you, God's got a purpose in it. Just about three months ago, we came back from a trip, and our car was parked in a parking lot there in Frankfurt, And we came back there and we'd left the light on in the light. So you know what happens? You go there and the battery's dead. Couldn't start the car. And the car was parked with a nose into it. And there wasn't any way. They even had a battery there. They could have done it. But they couldn't get to it with a car. So I had to wait on ADAC, which is like AAA over here. And so we had to wait a couple of hours before it came. And Sandy, we were both sort of thinking, man, it was cold and it was nasty. And why is this got to be? But when that guy showed up, that he came out, and within just a few minutes, he was able to get the car running. And I was witnessing to him, talking to him about the Lord. He got it coming. He got everything set up. And he looked on the back of my car, and it has John 14:6. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And he came up to me and knocked again. He said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, yes. He said, I've got some questions for you. Man. And he stood there, and it was nasty out. I mean, it's cold, freezing almost. And he was stood there for at least a half hour asking questions. And he was so close to being salvation, to being saved. And then we gave him some literature, and he went home. He's going to read that night. His name is Anthony. You can pray for Tony. I guess Tony's what he said. But you pray for him. I think we'll see him in heaven when we get there. And I tell you, it was such a great time. Sandy said afterwards, man, I'd stand the cold for another 2 hours for another opportunity to witness like that. Amen. But instead of looking on the negative sides of life, God's got a purpose, got a silver lining to every cloud he sends our way as we come and serve him. Now, we're coming, and I think one thing that David did know, there were some promises God had given to Israel. In Deuteronomy 11, and verse 24 and 25, God said to Israel, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall be your coast. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. You see, God, people can't stand against you when you're serving God. Amen. You know, and you're doing God. God's in you and God's working through you. They can't resist you. I mean, even Stephen in the New Testament, man, they drew him out. They're going to stone him to death. Man, they couldn't resist him. He had such a glow of testimony about him. And even if we die, that's the worst thing they can do to us, is send us home to glory. And praise God, we have got a victory in front of us. It's just a matter of time. And I'd like to say this right now. We are involved in missions. That your church, First Baptist Church here, is involved in missions, and rightly so. Christ gave us a great commission. Actually, five times at the end of each of the Gospels and at the beginning of the book of Acts. But in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And see, when you're in the middle of your problems, and it may be a very personal thing, maybe a great struggle within you. I don't know what your problem might be that you have in your life. You've got to realize that the Lord is with you. He's praying for you. Just like the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, they were in the middle of a storm. Christ was up on the hillside praying for them. And while they're in the middle, he walked to them. He helped them. They got afraid of seeing Jesus walking on the street because they thought it was just a spirit. But I tell you what, we have God working in our lives. And you don't know what God's doing through you. God's doing in somebody near you. These young people here that we see, they may be, God's going to touch their lives and use them for missionaries or ministries, whatever. May use you. You know, Paul wasn't exactly a child when God called him into the ministry. Yeah. He was at least 30 years of age. And Paul was used of God in a tremendous way in his life because God got a hold of him. Yeah. And you see, God's got things working in our lives, and we need to, by faith, do that and be used of God. We Baptist churches have got a job to finish. And actually, the situation for world missions is not very good today. You know, we're outnumbered. We're outnumbered out there in the world. But Christ said we're going to be outnumbered. We always have been. We always will be. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, 14, Christ said, "Enter ye in at the straight gates, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the way, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It's the broad way out there. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, if you have the narrow way, praise God, there's a masses of people out here. We've got a great opportunity to come and reach these people for Christ. Amen. And we are outnumbered, but it ought to break our hearts today that people are dying and going to hell. We ought to be touched by this. There's people right here in this community that have not had anybody come and knock on their door and presented to them the gospel or given them a gospel tract. We need to be praying for these things and led of God's Spirit and giving them out. I remember when I was in Springfield, Missouri, when we were in Bible college, and I was pastoring a little old country church. That's over 50 years ago I began pastor of that church there. And we had gone home to Colorado where Sandy's, where our folks were, and we heard about Grandma Weatherly. And she was in the hospital, and she was 72 years of age, and so we went back to Springfield, went to the hospital, talked to her, and Grandma Weatherly, 72 years of age, received Jesus Christ, her Savior. And that's wonderful, but her situation is not so wonderful. She had been raised as a Catholic there in West Plains, Missouri, Bible Belt America, catty-corner from a Baptist church in that town, and nobody had ever told her about Jesus Christ. 72 years of age, and nobody had ever wept over her soul and told her about Jesus Christ that she could have been saved. Man, she got saved. She's the first one I ever baptized. Amen. But praise God, she's in glory now. Amen. And I tell you, there's a lot of Grandma Weatherly's around here waiting for someone to care for their soul. Amen. Pray God help us to be those ones that go and do that. You see, Muslims are on the march. Atheists are on the march. Buddhists are on the march. I mean, in America, we're getting attacked. All the things they're trying to do out in California, I tell you, they're trying to outlaw our Bible. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of persecution coming today. And I tell you what, we are looking at things, and it'd be awful easy to just crawl off in your little old hole by yourself and just sort of make sure nobody ever knows you're there. But I tell you what, we need to come up and realize we're facing some Goliaths today. And Goliath said, God can defeat. God, and they can do what they want. They can throw us into the lion's den. They can throw us into the furnace. But I tell you what, we have a God that has the victory and he wants to get the glory. And we need to be involved in these things. So Christ has given us the command to take the gospel to all creatures. And I tell you what, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I tell you what, when you take the gospel, you can't take it to the wrong person. And whoever you take it to, God's not willing that they perish. But we need to be consistent, caring, ones that bring the gospel to them. And you know, God, Satan doesn't mind if we profess to be Christians, just as long as we don't live like it. Just as long as we don't live an excited, serving, and bold life to serve him. We need to be bold in the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse 8, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. God help us to have that boldness in our hearts to be a witness for the Lord. And so actually, Satan is pleased indeed when we fail to boldness witness for our Savior. We are more than conquerors in our Savior, and we need to live that way in our lives. David came to this, and Goliath, all the facts on the page looked like he would win. His size, his ability, his armor, his weaponry, the fear of the people of Israel and the armies there. Although spoke about these things, this challenge was an insult and a provocation against God and his people. And everybody was afraid except David. Now, David came and he responded to this in verse, let's look here. He came and spoke out these things. And David, in verse 26, and David spake to the men that were stood by him, saying, what shall be done the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, the Goliath called them, you are servants of Saul. Saul was the king. But I tell you what, they were much more than that. Were servants of a living God. And so they came here today. It says he's defying the armies of living God. And you know, anytime you do something for God, you'll get some opposition. Yeah. You know, what came to David there, and you come here and see here in verse 28, and Eliab, his oldest brother, heard that when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And turned away from him. Now, you'll get opposition when you serve God. There'll be criticism that comes. And by the way, I'm not going to say David didn't have some problem with pride. He probably did. We all do. I tell you, pride's our biggest enemy in our lives and our walk with the Lord, get in the way. But Eliab knew some of his problems. But he comes to him and says, why are you doing this? Why are you saying this? But he was probably envious that David was getting some attention standing up. And you know, David came to this, and a very key verse here in verse 30, he said, and he turned from him. You see, when somebody criticizes you for going up and fighting against the devil, your brother or sister in Christ that may criticize you are not your enemy. The devil's still our enemy. And you come in your life, and there may be somebody in your family, maybe a neighbor or something like that, but they're not your enemy. The devil's the one that comes and tries to divide us and bring up all kinds of controversy, and we need to turn from being caught up with people and take the challenge that God has given to us as those that are come against Satan. And his answer was very clear. Also in verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. He had criticism from his king. I tell you, it says, you can't do this. I tell you, when God led you to do something, we need to be willing to do it, regardless of what somebody may opposition to us. And the godly answer so here was so clear, beginning in verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And as this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. You know, David was the youngest of many sons that his father had. And for years, I thought that he was out there watching the sheep because he was the youngest. You know, he just got the job nobody else wanted. Sometimes they were up like, and celebrating, he'd be out there with those stinking sheep. But I tell you what, I don't believe that anymore. David was the one that had a heart for the sheep. He was willing to put his life on the line for a sheep. When you've got 100 sheep out there and you've got a lion that's got a hold of one of them, or a lion or a bear, and you say, well, man, I might get killed myself going up against a bear, going up against a lion. What's that going to do for the sheep? One sheep's not that important. But that sheep was something put under his responsibility. And he took his responsibility as an important thing. Many of the small tasks that we are given in our lives to do are tests of God to see how we will handle our responsibility. The people we deal with, whatever, if it's teaching a Sunday school, whatever it is, if it's working on the buses or whatever God's got you to do, be a good student at work or be a good worker. These are things that God wants to prove what you're made of, what you'd be willing to stand up for. And if we will pass these small tests, we'll be ready to face the Goliaths as they come along. But God wants to check our lives and see what kind of metal we're made out of, whether we'll take the stand up and be counted and be faithful in the things. He was willing to do that. And because he had done that and seen how God could give the victory over a bear or over a lion, he says, this Philistine, he didn't know. And you know, when those Israeli soldiers saw Goliath, they said, man, he's so big, he's so strong and all that. Why, we can't defeat him. He's too strong and too big. David may have thought, you know, he's so big, I can't miss him. Amen. You know, and we got to realize we have a God as he guides and directs it. And I'll tell you what, we got the victory. We've got the victory, all signed, sealed, and delivery. All you have to do is read the last book of our lives. And I tell you, we're going on the victory side today. And he has victories for us to live in our lives today. Yes, God knew the promise here, that God had power over him and nobody could stand in front of us when he's in it. His answer, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I tell you, what Paul wrote, and he wrote that from a prison house, he said, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. And I tell you what, we need to have more of this attitude. Whatever God leads us, and God, we can do it. I mean, it might be, some people say it's impossible to build a church today in our world. The world has gone so astray and so, but I tell you what, God's still in saving souls. God's still helping people to live their lives and get their lives straightened out and be used of God. We have a day today in Europe and around the world that God's still working, and I can thank God for that. Satan is a defeated hero today. In John 12 and verse 31, Jesus Christ said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Yes, Hebrews 2 and verse 14, God's word says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. People who have fear of death, fear of what's going to happen, they just say to themselves, I tell you, God's saving us and setting us free to be used of God. Paul writes at the end of Romans, in Romans 6:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I'll tell you what, God is looking for people who will stand up and be used of him in this day and age. It is a hard battle, but we all know who has already won the victory. His overcoming power and victory is given unto us. In Luke 10 and verse 18 and 19, Christ said to his church, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I tell you what, we have a God who's able to protect and use and greatly use us today. And you know, nothing in this world can defeat us as we obey and serve our Savior. The worst that they can do is send us home to heaven. And we always are in the majority with our Savior. Our enemies and battles and problems are truly opportunities. That's what's the name of this sermon, by the way. When that Goliath came and reached out and said, you know, you give me someone to fight against. If I defeat him, you're going to serve me. They were already serving them. But he says, if he defeats me, we will serve you. And you know, that was opportunity's knock. Yes. And David came and he grasped a hold of that opportunity. And by faith he went out and he fought this Goliath, and God gave him the victory, and it turned the whole situation. At the end of this whole thing, I mean, the Philistines were running away because their hero had been destroyed. And believe me, the world's hero has been destroyed. Satan is defeated today. And we can claim the victory that defeated that in our lives. Also here in our text in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 50 through 53, we find the results of this. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. I'll tell you what, there was great victory and rejoicing because one man stood up against Goliath, trusting in his God. And I tell you what, we need some men like David today and some young women today that are willing to stand up and be used of God and stand in this day and age. It's a wicked. And I tell you that one of the reasons that the Lord has sustained us, about 6 years ago, I was nigh unto death. 3.5 months in a hospital. Our doctors had given up on me. But you know, God wasn't through. People like you had been praying for me. And I tell you what, God moved the doctor in another hospital to contact them and says, I think I can help him. And he took me over and they had some other operations, and he did help me. And God's given me health, and he's keeping us healthy and going for him, because there's a work out there among the missionaries and they need encouragement, they need help. And we need to be used of God in this day and age and be standing up for the Savior. And we ask your prayer for us that we might truly be faithful and used of God and encouragement wherever we go. But if you're here and you don't have Jesus Christ, your Savior, I challenge you tonight. Come and receive him as Savior. And if you're saved, that you would stand up and be like a David, someone who stood up for the cause of Christ in this wicked day. Let's stand now to prayer. Before I turn this over to your pastor.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, go ahead and stand. The altar is open. Brother Tom, go ahead and pray.
Our Lord and God, we thank you tonight for the privilege to serve you, that we serve a risen Savior. And God, that your victory is enough to give us victory in every area of our life. God, it may be in our thoughts, in our actions, our habits. God, you are powerful. And we want to give you the glory. And I pray for that one that's without you as Savior. God, whatever they might have had, a probation, a baptism, whatever. They don't have you as their Savior, Lord. They're on their way to hell. And I pray, God, you'd use us to reach the world around us and be a testimony and give you the glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. As she plays, the altar is open tonight, brothers and sisters. Won't you take a moment and pray? As Brother Tom said, David heard opportunities knock at the proclamation of Saul, of Goliath. Maybe tonight this message is the opportunity knock for you. Won't you take a moment and pray?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst from the drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to
tonight or tomorrow, maybe you'll hear opportunities knock. Maybe someone will ask a question. Maybe tomorrow, if you're ready, if you're open to God's leading, tomorrow, someone like that tow truck driver will just intersect your life. Maybe you'll see it as a problem. Maybe you'll see it as a difficulty and think to yourself, why am I going through this? It might just be opportunity's knock. It just might be the Lord directing it so that you would cross paths with somebody you wouldn't normally. And they have a question. Won't you respond like David did? Won't you respond with the truth of God?
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Our Father and our God, we love you. Thank you for the message and the messenger tonight. Thank you for the challenge. And Father, how he prevailed because of you. Thank you, Father, for the promise of victory. If we'll just be available to you. Now, Father, bless us tonight as we have our business meeting. And Father, we ask that you'd lead, guide, and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way?